It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is episode 181. It is Sunday night. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by my best buddy, Brian. Brian, how goes it this evening, sir? Oh, yes. Take a sip out of the official Ron and Brian podcast coffee mug. Available.
Notice,
on Patreon.
If I tilt it, you will see absolutely no stickers on the bottom. Because that's not how I roll.
Nothing more infuriating than seeing a coffee mug that you assume somebody's going to return to the store later because they left the stickers in the bottom.
Of course, of course. All things are good here. It is a special time. It is Sunday. It is 8 o'clock. We are recording this live. I just want everybody to know that this is one of the things that I look forward to every week, not just so I can come into your home and share some of your allotted time that you have awake, but also I get to spend an hour with my close friend, this guy. That's DJ Ron B.
All right. Yes, it is. So I guess there's nothing else to say except let's get right into this with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slancher.
Who's Drink of the Week. Drink
All right, Brian, what bringeth you for your drink of the week this week?
This is a beer I had back in June.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
so good, I decided I wanted to go back to a shower beer. Nice. You're going to say to yourself, Brian, what is a shower beer? Well, shower beer looks just like this. Look at that goodness. This is what we call a Czech Pilsner, coming in at 4.2% from our friends over at Champion Brewing. Perfect for any relaxing occasion, this bohemian pilsner sings with a fresh, clean maltiness and spicy flavor with aroma contributions coming from 100% traditional Czech saaz hops.
Take a sip of that.
Nice.
And, well, we already know you like it because you brought it back for a second time.
I am on a pilsner kick, my friend. A pilsner kick. Now, I understand that this beer has not been seeped in California Reaper peppers. There's no fancy spices that are going to burn the back of my throat. Ron, what have you got?
So, Brian, I feel like there was a period of time that I was letting you down, constantly bringing pumpkin and pumpkin spiced flavored beverages. So I am proud to let you know, Brian, that I have left hashtag basic bitch fall in the past, and I am now fully embracing basic bitch winter. I am bringing to the table this week from the folks at Victory Brewing here in Pennsylvania. This is Merry Monkey, part of their Golden Monkey series. They take their Golden Monkey Belgian style ale, and this is with cranberry, orange peel, cinnamon, and nutmeg. All those festive flavors mixed in, clocking in at a heady 10% ABV. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good evening, my friend. Let's take a look at this and served in a chalice, of course, because that's how you serve your Belgian ales. You like the color of that, Brian? It's like a little.
That is beautiful.
Thing. Beautiful.
That is so a beautiful caramel. Did you say caramel or caramel? Or is one caramel?
I say caramel. Oh. Oh, this is dangerous.
Now, walk me through the flavor profile again.
I mean, it's definitely, if you've had Golden Monkey before, you definitely get that great Belgian ale. I'm getting the cinnamon, the nutmeg, not getting a ton of cranberry, but it is a very, for a 10%er, this is extremely smooth. A lot of the reviews I read about it said it's extremely dangerous because it goes down so smoothly. So I feel like it's going to be a fun night, Brian.
Well, we've got After Dark coming up at 9:30 for our loyal Patreon subscribers. And we all know that when Ron is in double digits during Drink of the Week, we find out a lot about his sex life in After Dark. So, join a Patreon. If you're watching live, Go to our website, Ron Brian Podcast. Click the button in the upper right-hand corner that says Patreon. Go to patreon.com.
Slash.
Sign up.
Yeah, sign
subscribe.
Up. Brian showed you the mug, which is some of the swag you can get if you subscribe at certain levels for 3 months. I am wearing our custom Ron and Brian Podcast sweatshirt, which you can also get depending on what level you subscribe at. But again, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, and the money goes back into making this show better for all of you. Let's keep rolling along here. We've got This Week in Racism.
This
week.
Racism.
Brian, I'm starting to feel like the country has gotten racism underhand. This is a very light week in stories, less than a page, so we can definitely keep it to less than a tight 10 minutes. So let's get right into this. Two high-ranking members of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office in Kentucky are leaving the department after they were revealed to have previously been members of the Ku Klux Klan. Mike Lauren, a captain in the department's criminal division, is set to retire, and Deputy Gary Fisher is resigning after the Louisville Courier-Journal identified them as being part of a KKK faction consisting of law enforcement officers decades ago. The pair were revealed to have been members of the Confederate Officers Patriotic Squad. Yes, that acronym does spell out cops. They were revealed in a 1985 civil lawsuit filed by a black couple who had their house burned down in a previously all-white neighborhood. However, the membership was not made public, as a federal judge sealed the depositions in order to protect the officers' right of freedom of association guaranteed by the First Amendment. American gymnast and Olympic gold medalist Sunny Lee said she was pepper sprayed in a racist attack last month while out with a group of friends in Los Angeles. Lee said she was waiting for a ride when a car drove by with people shouting racial slurs. According to Lee, who said she was with a group of friends who were all of Asian descent, one of the passengers sprayed her arm with pepper spray before the car drove away. So those were our only two news stories, but we do have a couple of stories in Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
All right. Last week, we had the story of Tommy Williams, the Connersville, Indiana city councilman whose house was set on fire and the N-word was spray painted on his back patio. This week, Williams told local media that earlier in the month, a car drove by his house and one of the occupants yelled a racial slur outside of his bedroom window. No arrests have been made in the case, but the FBI, alongside state and local officials, is investigating the root cause to the fire. And James Whitfield of Northern Texas has appeared in This Week in Racism a few times this year. Whitfield, who is principal of Colleyville Heritage High School, alleged that an administrator in his school district had asked him to take a photo down from his personal Facebook page because it showed him with his white wife. Then he was suspended back in August after being accused by parents of promoting critical race theory. Now he is out of a job after the Board of Trustees for the Grapevine Colleyville Independent School District unanimously voted to part ways with Whitfield. The Board of Trustees went on to approve a settlement to end his contract and 3-year tenure with the district, and he will be on paid administrative leave until August of 2023. And Brian, that's This Week in Racism. Very short. That is a tight 3 minutes, if you will. 2 minutes and change.
I don't. That's. How do I say this without that? That's an amazingly small amount of racism.
It is. And I looked around for racism, Ryan. You know, we are always searching for the racism out there. But it was. It was not there. It was not there this week.
We've got to expose the vile people out there.
2 minutes and 41 seconds. Brian, do you want to test out the new features of StreamYard? Do you want to see if you can show a comment up on the screen there? If you can click on it in the feed, does that work on your side now?
I'm not so sure that. Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
So,
Take it off?
Brian now will have certain controls as I do on this side of it.
But yet you didn't give me all the controls. Specifically, I looked for the Eric Clapton, "This Has Gotta Stop," and I noticed that you had it somehow not eligible for me to hit play on.
You can't
and
play
that,
goodness?
My friend. I'm kidding. So how do I comment in here in the comments section?
If you use the post a comment under the comment scroll, you should be able to post as us. You just want to use the drop down and select whether you want to do it in YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch.
I'm going to say that this probably is not the time for us to to discuss this. Do you agree? Right.
Fair enough. We'll fix it afterwards.
You know what? Why don't we just? I have a great idea. Why don't you walk me through how to do it, and then we'll just we'll delete it. We'll edit it out. I mean, that was part of the joy.
That feels like work to me. Then I have to go back and I have to actually do stuff. What? I like just literally being able to download a file and upload it into another system.
It's fucking glorious, isn't it?
All right, let's get on with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian? What's bothering you this week?
All right. What's bothering me is this. Office potluck lunches.
Oh, really? Why is that? They seem so fabulous to me.
Because this afternoon, we're recording this Sunday night, for those that are not watching live. Earlier today, let me rewind a little bit.
Sure.
Beef of the Week. Rewind. We announced in my office that we're doing a potluck lunch tomorrow.
Okay.
I ran as quickly as possible to the sign-in sheet once I saw the email notification go out. That's a lie. I sent the email notification out and I forgot to walk over. I can't lie. There's no point of lying anymore. I sent out the notification, hey, we're doing potluck lunch. And I said to myself, I will make my world famous macaroni and cheese.
It is world famous.
And I will bring that in. So by the time I made it to the front of the office where the sign-up sheet was, somebody else had already written macaroni and cheese.
Son of a bitch.
So I was like, damn. So I immediately go into panic mode because there's really only like four things I know how to make that I'm proud of. And I was just, no. Glazed carrots. There really weren't many vegetables. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to make a vegetable. And I thought about it. I was like, what can I do? Ended up with glazed carrots. Ron, I'm not exaggerating, earlier today, 45 minutes peeling fucking carrots. I bought 6 pounds of carrots.
Can I ask a question? Just ask a question? This comes from someone that's had to do some potluck dinners and lunches in our time. Why did you not just buy baby carrots to use? Already peeled, already cut up.
I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you.
I'm just asking the real questions now.
Ron, I started at 4:14. I remember looking on my clock when I started it. At 4:14, I opened the first of 6 1-pound bags, and it was almost 5 o'clock when I had finished peeling them. I could have gotten baby carrots. Oh fuck!
They're more uniform. They cook up a lot nicer that way.
Oh my god! I'm so fucking stupid. I am a fucking moron. Oh god. Okay. All right. You know what? Wait,
please continue. Continue about your beef there.
Oh, no. My beef is with myself.
Okay.
The potluck lunch will be tomorrow. The carrots came out delicious. I had to cook them longer than the recipe, but that's also because I was tripling the recipe. I imagine I needed to add more time. Came out delicious. Used more butter than the recipe called for.
Always.
Brown sugar. It's sitting in my fridge overnight. It's going to be even better tomorrow.
See, I like to do a nice roasted garlic carrot. Because that way it's just butter and garlic. Just toss it up and roast it. Just bing, bang. I will say, holding a potluck luncheon on a Monday, not cool.
You know what it really...
A Wednesday.
This is the problem. Is that A... We had to pick a day where all the top execs were going to be in the office.
Okay, I got it.
Because if we don't, there would be some people would be hurt that they were not going to be available And second of all, is that people are for the most part, we have got people starting to take off by Wednesday of this week.
All right. That's fair.
In hindsight, based on your logic, we could have done it late, late last week. But we decided to do it Monday. This way, it allows people the entirety of their weekend to make the what they're bringing in, as opposed to if you do it on a Thursday, everybody's cooking Wednesday night after a long day of work. Nobody's going to be happy about that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But baby carrots, Brian, that's my tip to you moving forward.
It just never it never occurred to me.
Right. I get it.
But you're absolutely correct. They're already peeled. They're nice and they're perfect sized. Oh, I literally feel fucking dumb right now.
Well, don't feel dumb, my friend. That's not why I said it. I said it just to help you moving forward.
Ron, what's bothering you other than my idiocy?
So my beef this week, and I guess it's been a beef of mine for the last couple of weeks. So you've got a thing there in New York, a mandate, I believe, for all healthcare workers to be vaccinated, correct? Sure. That actually passed a few weeks back, right?
Yes.
Actually been in effect. So, I mentioned earlier this year some of the health issues that my mother was going through. And we unfortunately had a setback 2 weeks ago, which involved her having to go to the emergency room. And 5 out of the 6 hospitals in the area that she lives in were not accepting ambulances. Only 1.
Yes. You're about to say because.
Because they are so short-staffed because people decided to just not work rather than get the vaccine.
Run that by me. Okay, so you're saying that of the 6 hospitals in the area where your mother lives...
Correct.
5 of them are short-staffed enough because people didn't want to get vaccinated that... they do not have the capacity to take new patients in.
So it's kind of a double whammy. So the hospitals are overwhelmed due to new COVID patients that are not vaccinated, roughly 96-97% of them. And they don't have enough nurses and people like that because of the vaccine mandate. They decided to not work rather than get the vaccine. They did not want to get the vaccine in order to continue to work. So that was a problem. So she gets into the one hospital that's accepting new patients. Mm-hmm. Part of her issue is she's got AFib. She's got an accelerated heart rate at times. Not a good thing. So they move her into the ICU. Not because she needs to be in the ICU, but because the ICU, they tell her, is the only place in the hotel from a staffing perspective that they can guarantee her the level of care that she would require. That if she was elsewhere in the hospital and her heart rate were to soar, her AFib were to kick in, there would be a greater possibility of no one noticing it and her not getting treatment and her dying.
Unbelievable.
Again, let that sink in for a moment. Now,
unbelievable.
On a positive side, she did leave the hospital on Friday. She went to a rehabilitation center. She's going to need some physical and occupational therapy before she can go home. So she got in there, and it is a very similar situation. You have nursing homes, you have assisted living facilities, you have rehab centers, sorely, woefully understaffed because people don't want to get the vaccine.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. As aggravated as I was before, I'm even more pissed off and just done with these folks.
The part that I find shocking, and I know that this shouldn't be shocking because you've seen this before, you've read stories about it, but these are people who went into a line of work to provide care for others. Their job is to take care of others. And here's an instance where they're prioritizing the selfishness of, I don't know what's in this thing. I am allergic to one of the things in the mRNA. Johnson & Johnson may give me a blood clot because 0.00001% of people had a bad reaction to it.
it's a fucking placebo, only less than 60% of efficacy rate. Nobody wants Johnson & Johnson. Fuck.
By the way, I don't know if anything I just said was statistically correct, but it felt good. Felt
understand.
Right.
Understand.
Yeah, that's absolutely outrageous.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
All you can say is that have you thought of relocating her to another area?
I mean, at this point, you know, it's not really, you know, it's not something that can be done at this point. But, you know, it is something we're going to have to think about moving forward, you know.
Okay.
But it's just aggravating to your point. And again, I mean, you know, when you think about you look at like the nursing homes and the number of deaths that happened in the state of New York in the beginning of the pandemic, how, you know, Governor Cuomo was torn apart by people, rightfully so, his handling of the coronavirus and nursing homes and assisted living and rehab centers and things like that. But the same people who pilloried him back about this issue, I don't know.
It didn't sound right to me.
Yeah, it didn't sound right either. Are fine supporting these healthcare workers that don't want to get their vaccinations.
Sure.
So it is just a ridiculous situation. If you are not vaccinated, I have no sympathy for anything that happens to you or members of your family because of it.
Yes.
That's where I'm at. So there you have it.
I'm sorry to hear that. We need to protect Ron's mom at all costs.
Well, I would think so at the very least. But let's get into this. What do we want to start with?
Well, we're talking about COVID. We're talking about the vaccines. We may as well just, we've got a couple stories here in the queue.
Okay.
So let's bring them up. Let's talk about it, and then we can move on to happier subjects, such as my ability to peel 6 pounds of carrots.
That is impressive, nonetheless. So there was a very interesting article in the New York Times earlier this week. What it was entitled, U.S. COVID deaths get even redder. Kind of the point of the article, this was from David Leonhardt. He's been kind of tracking state by state cases as far as hospitalizations, infections, deaths, things of that nature. And so this was his latest update. And so basically in looking at 2020, when you look at red states and blue states, it was a pretty equal balance as far as cases and deaths and things of that nature. Blue states tended to get hit hard early, much like you saw there, Brian, in New York. Area with a major international airport or things like that are typically in bluer states. They got hit early, and then it kind of shifted more into the red states later into the year. And then, you know, obviously the vaccines came out. And so, you know, it's really created a gap in the COVID death toll from state to state that they broke down basically from a voter's perspective. So if you look at the month of October, 25 out of every 100,000 residents of heavily Trump counties died from COVID, which was more than 3 times higher than the rate in heavily Biden counties, which was 7.8 per 100,000.
Right.
October was the 5th consecutive month that the percentage gap between the death rates in Trump counties and Biden counties widened. And if you look at areas where they are heavier Trump voters, so counties where Trump received at least 70% of the vote, have an even higher average COVID death toll than counties where Trump won at least 60%. So right now, that's why you're seeing a lot of COVID deaths being concentrated in counties outside of major metropolitan areas. A lot of them in states like Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Oregon, Virginia, and then even parts of California as well. And it was interesting. Do you ever watch Michael Smirkanish on CNN?
I'm going to say this to you. I have never heard that name before.
All right.
Under any circumstances, I've not even heard anybody. I Never heard that name.
All right. Well, anyway, he is a Philadelphia-based columnist. He has a show on Sunday mornings on CNN. And one of the things, one of the studies that he was pointing out is, and I forget the agency that did the study, but they looked at 8 myths about the COVID-19 and its vaccines. And they did a percentage of people that felt, do you believe at least 1 out of 8 of these things? Or do you believe any, right. Do you believe 4 or more of these things? And the percentage of people that believed them that were tied to these counties that were heavy Trump and heavy deaths, and also tied to their primary news sources, either being Newsmax, OAN, or Fox News. It was sad because these news stations are also they're perpetuating this, but also making money off of it at the same time.
Sure. There was I believe it was an OAN. No, might have been a Newsmax reporter. I think this past week was just banned from Twitter.
Oh, yes.
For life, because she was just coming back from a ban for spreading misinformation about COVID. And literally within 15 minutes of her ban being lifted, she started tweeting about how the vaccine has some type of satanic particles that control Lucifer your body or,
I believe it's called.
Yeah, I mean it's the fact that you've got people out there. Now keep in mind, I'm not saying CNN doesn't lie, I'm not saying MSNBC does not skew its news to provide a specific perspective, but to sit there and just blatantly make up things that are not true and pawn it off as not opinion but as news, as facts, that's the scariest thing that I feel like we've had in this country over the past 5 years or so, which is just this embrace of, it's not even alternate media. It's really just, it is conspiracy theories wrapped under the blanket of media. That's the part that's scary.
Right. And I still, you know, again, we're almost 2 years into this pandemic now, and it's still like amazing to me how much just the healthcare and just general care of your fellow citizen has become so politicized, and how politicized this vaccine has become. The most recent statistics say that, you know, there's about 40% of Republican adults that remain unvaccinated, compared with only about 10% of Democratic adults.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's right down party lines.
It's absurd.
Anyway, what else do we have in the COVID front?
I wanted to take a moment to discuss the recent article that was on studyfinds.org, which is a research website. And there was an article where that was on the website earlier this week where they discussed a poll that was taken by an organization, I think called One Poll, surveying, I don't know, 2,000 people, 2,000 U.S. Citizens or residents, excuse me. I don't want to talk about immigration status, but the survey was basically asking if the upcoming holiday plans were going to be affected by the vaccination status of relatives. If you remember correctly, last year, there was a lot of talk leading up to the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays about an upcoming second wave, I guess it was. No, one, right. Two. Wouldn't that have been the third wave?
Okay.
Yeah, the first wave was during the March when I was stricken by COVID-19. Thankfully, I have the antibodies and I'm superhuman. And then there was a wave in the summer. And then there was the largest wave to date, which was family gatherings. There was a record numbers of people flying and traveling. There was no vaccines out there. So there was a lot of people that were, putting the holidays on pause. A lot of people saying, no, I need to go visit granny. This could be my last, a year where grandma is still alive. And in some cases, the traveling and gathering families indoors is exactly what killed granny. But let's not talk about that. But the study was asking people if this year their holiday plans will be affected by whether any of their relatives are unvaccinated. And shockingly, over 65% of Americans are fully vaccinated. However, in the poll, nearly 6 out of 10 people, 58%, said that they would absolutely change their holiday plans if they knew that an unvaccinated person would be included in that family gathering.
What's your thoughts on that?
Personal choice. I understand both sides. I understand a lot of people saying, listen, I am vaccinated. There's a reason why I went to go get vaccinated. People who have unvaccinated have proven themselves and have shown themselves to be selfish, not care about the likelihood of the effect that they're potentially catching COVID will have on our healthcare system, will have on others. So I get it. And I also can understand people saying, hey, you know, my Uncle Walter is my Uncle Walter, and I'm going to see him whether he's vaccinated or not. Yeah. It's a touchy subject, and I imagine it's one that's going to be it's going to be a lot of conversations going on in this country, specifically
on the coasts,
where they will be discussing vaccination status, because we know
in Midwest America
nobody's vaccinated.
Listen, you know, again, I'm hoping to be able to go see my mom at the end of this month when I'm traveling for work, and you know, knowing that, like in the couple of weeks leading up to that, you know, I need to minimize the number of non-vaccinated people I interact with, just, you know, as an extra layer of precaution. So you can definitely see, you know, how, you know, maybe it's not a case of not wanting to see your relative, but depending on what your work status is, depending on what the status of people that you interact with, friends, loved ones, other family members, you know, you have to be careful.
Have you thought about getting a second booster shot of Moderna to further protect yourself, to take you from 92.8 up to 99.7 efficacy, just to further protect your mother?
I will look into that. I'll run the numbers and check the science.
Have they started talking about another booster?
I haven't, but I mean, you would have to imagine that if the case numbers don't come down, or if we see any other aggressive variants come out, you have to imagine that we will be addressing a booster shot, because, you know, the CDC is basically at the point where they're saying that herd immunity may not be possible for the country.
Right.
Because you would need to
get, I saw something like that.
Yeah. You would need to get upwards of 70-80% vaccination rates. And we are sitting right now at around 58.5% of all Americans fully vaccinated. So unless that number and you know, the number of new people getting vaccinated has really dropped off. So unless we see that number start to move, you know, we may never achieve herd immunity as a country.
But what about the people that are just naturally immunized? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, people who have had COVID and developed the antibodies. Wouldn't that inherently increase the number from 58% to something significantly higher?
I mean, I don't know if they're counting anyone, the Joe Rogans and the Aaron Rodgers of the world, but since studies continue to show that the antibodies created by having the actual COVID disease are not as strong and do not last as long as the ones created by the vaccine, they are not including those folks in the herd immunity count.
I also read somewhere, and I wish I'd bookmarked it, that people who got sick during the first wave in New York had almost a godlike level of antibodies compared to people who caught COVID in later waves.
I haven't heard of that study, but I will look for it. I assume it's probably written on a post-it note stuck to your monitor.
Right there.
What was also surprising to me in looking through, because you sent me the article with this poll for the holidays, what is interesting is that almost 4 in 5, 79% of the people they polled believe politics should not play a role in science or medicine. So you would imagine, you know, because they polled vaccinated and unvaccinated people, like there is a percentage of vaccinated people who believe that as well. but it doesn't like it doesn't seem to match their actions though.
No, I listen, ever since Hillary lost to Trump, I think that I have had very little sense of trust on any type of poll. I think we've it's been quite exposed that people's actions are not necessarily in line with the things that they report when taking some type of survey.
Right. Well, just some interesting, other interesting numbers. Regardless of vaccination status, 53% agree that the politicization of the vaccine has divided their families.
I think you left out a T in there.
I might have. 49% of the unvaccinated respondents have stopped communicating with family members who don't understand why they refuse the shot. And 22% of unvaccinated respondents have so far been excluded from all family gatherings, including the holidays.
Okay.
So some interesting numbers there. 43% of unvaccinated respondents also confessed that they were worried about potentially losing their jobs and benefits or paying higher health insurance premiums because they're not vaccinated. But yeah, not worried enough to get vaccinated.
No, but I did see there was a Asian country, I want to say it was Malaysia, that has socialized medicine where the government pays for everything. And they announced that if you are unvaccinated and require hospitalization for COVID, you will be responsible for every penny of your medical bill.
Well, there you go. I mean, that kind of makes sense if you think about it.
I'm not against it.
All right. Anything else on the COVID side, or you want to move on?
I think we can move on.
All right. I hear that you have a lightning round that you have put together for me. Do you have to go grab it?
Wrong answer is the internet.
All right, so we've done Ron Answers the Internet before, but we're going to combine Ron Answers the Internet with our very popular lightning round format.
Ron, you know I love you. You know that I am a big fan of your brain. I am a big fan of the way you think. And still to this day, after 181 episodes of this podcast, you still shock me with some of your answers. So all right. I am always looking to poke and prod and see what's going on up there in that beautiful noggin of yours. So our good friends over at Barstool Sports, leave the politics aside. They can still be somewhat entertaining. They do something called Answers the Internet, where they put up some challenging questions that will spark debate. Ron, I've pulled down a whole list of them. And are you ready?
I am ready. Hit me with question number one.
If you could live inside one TV show, what would it be? If you could live inside one TV show, what would it be?
Let's go Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Guys got to eat.
But you do. You technically do. I mean, you just... You live in America. This guy travels America.
I just want to be in Flavortown 24/7.
Guy Fieri. Would you rather be able to travel through space or time? Would you rather teleport or time travel?
I think I'd rather time travel. I don't know that there's other areas of space that I'm interested in.
If you had a one-time free pass, what crime would you commit?
If I had a one-time, I mean, I'd probably rob a bank.
You're going to rob a bank?
Yeah, well, I get, you know, steal a lot of money, be set for life. I don't want to kill anybody. Like, that's, you know, that seems overly violent.
Well, that's exactly what I would have done. If you had, if you had 30 minutes left to live, what would you do?
I would record an After Dark episode.
Damn, that's a great answer. Would you rather be president, the Pope, or the leader of North Korea?
I'd rather be the Pope, because then hopefully I can get the priest to stop touching young boys.
Good answer. You get to choose between a sum of money and world peace.
Mm.
How much money would it take to not pick world peace?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, let's say, I mean, I need to be, you know, fairly set. Like I would say, you know, you're probably looking at like 100
million. 100
million? Yep. Because I can invest that and turn that into 25 million very easily.
You're telling me. Fucking labor smart. You're telling me that if somebody offered you $75 million, you would still say world peace?
I mean, I have to think about it. You just gave me a number. I mean, this is me answering.
No.
This is not Ron answering, Brian.
I didn't give you a number. I said, you're the one that said the number. You said 100 million, which implies that at 99 million, you would still choose world peace.
It'd be tough. It'd be a tough call.
Me? I think that number is a couple hundred grand. Straight, not joking.
If you could.
I would. Oh, absolutely. That would be the first thing I would do is I would kill someone. Who is the last person you would want to see kissing your wife?
I mean, I'd probably say you. The betrayal would be on a level that I don't know that I could handle.
On whose part? Your wife's or mine?
Tough to say.
If you could make any character from a movie real so that you could date, who would they be?
That is a very interesting and odd question. I don't know about that.
I will give you a couple seconds to say Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman.
All right, Wonder Woman. There we go.
Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot version.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Linda Carter wouldn't be a bad one either, though. No. It would have to be Linda Carter in the 70s, not current Linda Carter, who I probably is still not a bad looking woman.
No,
if you could change your name to anything, what would it be?
Maybe Steve. I feel like I'd be Steve? Good. I think I'd be an okay Steve.
All righty. Speaking of Steves, would you rather wear high heels or a tight belly shirt?
I don't think I could walk on high heels. Like I just that I don't think I have the ankles for it. So I'd go belly shirt.
Okay. Bippy last top, question.
As we say.
Beg your pardon?
Bippy top.
Bippy top. Last question.
All right.
You are granted the ability to go back into time and visit your past self. You are allowed to only say 10 words.
Okay.
What year are you going back to, and what do you say?
I would go back to 1993, and I would say, hold on to Brian as tight as you can.
All right. I was going to say you would go back to 1993 and say, do not wed that woman.
That would be 99 I would have to go back to.
You made her wait 6 years?
I mean, I guess no we wonder she, for that long.
No wonder she hated you.
I'm a hateable guy. I'm willing to accept that.
That is our lightning round, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, hopefully they were entertained with that. But I think a more important question, Brian. Mm-hmm. What are you watching?
Oh. This week, I watched a great show on Apple TV starring Will Ferrell, starring Paul Rudd.
People's sexiest man alive.
Didn't it feel a little suspicious that he has a new show coming out on Apple TV the week that it becomes?
I mean, there may be a little bit, there's a little bit of a tie in there, I feel.
It's called The Shrink Next Door. Paul Rudd plays a nebbishy New York City psychiatrist. Will Ferrell plays a nebbishy. How would you describe him? He is the manager of a fashion company.
Fabric store.
Yeah. Where he is recently divorced, and his wife is his ex-wife is yelling at him. Will Ferrell's Basically, the world just stomps and walks right over him in almost all areas of his life. Paul Rudd comes into his life under the guise of providing him some assistance for an anxiety issue. And the story, which I believe is based on a podcast, we don't talk other podcasts, but I believe this is a true story.
It is.
About how the psychiatrist gains more and more influence over this man's day-to-day decisions to the point where he starts basically to run to this guy's life. Now, what they did was they dumped three episodes this past Friday. I imagine they're jumping another three this coming Friday.
No, it goes one a week after the first three.
Oh, had I known that, I wouldn't have powered through all three. I thought they were dropping the whole season at once.
Yeah, I thought I powered through. Yeah, just the three.
God damn it. So they're going to make me wait like this is Loki?
Yes, I believe so.
That's horseshit. Anywho,
I watched the first two episodes. I didn't get to the third one yet, but very good. I enjoyed it so far.
I did read a New York Post review of it where they really trashed it in the sense of there's nothing enjoyable about watching this show. There's nothing that they like about the characters. And they felt that they were overplaying the new way the New York Post said was, stereotypical New Yorkers, which was another way of saying Jew. but like everyone plays an over the top Jew in this. I mean, this literally, this could be a Tel Aviv tourism board sponsored TV show. But anywho, I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was entertaining. And they could have dialed down some of the New York Jew stuff, but I wasn't offended.
I mean, it was, I will say, a little over the top with, Paul Rudd being like, don't be such a nebbish. Like it looked like all three of them. Cause who's the woman in there? Catherine
Khan.
All three appear to be doing a Jackie Mason impersonation.
Yes.
With their characters.
Yes.
But apart from that, I don't think you're supposed to like the characters because you were really dealing with just three really flawed individuals. The story, if you read the actual true story, it's a horrible story of manipulation and control and grift and everything else. So I'll be very interested to see how this series plays out.
Yes. And it's interesting because it's similar to the story of what happened to Brian Wilson.
Yes.
The singer and primary songwriter of the early Beach Boys songs, where he fell under the guise of a psychiatrist who basically pumped him full of drugs to help control his life, and then basically barricaded him away from friends and family.
Correct.
For almost a decade of the guy's life. So, and that's true. That really did happen.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this show plays out. But definitely, I do recommend it for anybody looking to watch it. Almost as good as what was that show with Hank Azaria that I was in the midst of watching when this came out?
Oh, were you watching Brockmire?
Yes, I was. I was in the middle of the first episode of season two when this show came out, and I just say Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell. I'm going to put Brockmire on hold. I'll get back to it when I'm done with this show.
Good call. Good call.
Ron, what are you watching?
So this week, I watched the first couple of episodes of that series. I also watched the huge blockbuster movie released on Netflix, Red Notice, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot. As it turns out, the biggest release in Netflix history, the most watched first day release ever in Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. It is.
What is the plot?
So the plot is Ryan Reynolds is the second greatest art thief in the world. Gal Gadot is the first greatest. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
She stole my heart.
Is a FBI profiler. I will say this, it is by no means a great movie. Okay. It's one of those movies where it is action-packed. It is very formulaic. It does not bring anything new to the table. But if you just want like 2 hours of just action and suspense and somewhat of a twist, and let's face it, I mean, I could stare at Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne The Rock Johnson all day long. In fact, my only complaint is that there was not enough shirtless scenes with the two of them. And Gal Gadot, easy on the eyes as well.
She is easy on the eyes. Yeah. I'm not offended by her. I know a lot of people are. I'm not offended at all.
So again, if you go into it with very low expectations, like if you just want a very mindless movie to fill 2 hours of your day, you could do worse than Red Notice.
All right. I'm sure
they'll put that on the promotional material. You could do worse than Red Notice. And then
Is that movie in the theaters or no?
I believe it is Netflix only.
Okay.
And I also started watching a new series on Netflix called Catching Killers, which is it is a show about the police efforts in catching various serial killers. The first episode was about the Green River Killer. The second episode was about
who's the Green River Killer? Why do I feel like I know him?
Personally, Gary Ridgway is the Green River Killer. Yes.
Was he the guy that was a butcher?
Or I don't know if he was a butcher or not, because they don't really go into the killers as much as they do the police and the police that had to track them down. So that's kind of the
angle. Feel like I read a book about that guy. They got him at work for some reason.
Well, because eventually he did not get caught for like 20 years until DNA testing caught up to the samples that they had frozen. So they eventually were able to test DNA from some of his first victims and find him. And that's how they caught him. The second episode was about Eileen Wuornos, the serial killer that Charlize Theron.
He was a spray painter. I'm sorry. He was a spray painter at a truck factory.
There you go. Eileen Wuornos, who Charlize Theron played in the 2003 film Monster. I wanted to like it because I do like, the true crime stuff, just very slow. And again, I mean, and maybe this is just me, like I want more information on the killers versus the cops that catch them. Like I get the idea of, what the police work is like. I'm more interested in, finding out what kind of makes these people into serial killers, if that makes sense.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't be watching a show called Catching a Killer maybe watch a show analyzing a killer.
Clearly, I have learned. And so if you want to find out about people catching killers, then maybe this show is for you. But I would go with Red Notice before I went Catching Killers.
Got it. Now, speaking of Gal Gadot, how would you describe her outfits in this movie? She is scantily clad. Does she wear any tight pants like Catherine Zeta-Jones did in that heist movie with Sean Connery?
I will say there are some tight pants scenes. There is also, of course, the obligatory dinner party at the arms dealer's house where she is in a very revealing red dress. I think you should probably just fast forward right to that scene and watch those 5 or 6 minutes.
I'll just go to Celebrity Skin, where I'm one of the inaugural members.
All right. Before it gets too late in the show, Brian, we should really discuss our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
And first, can I say, a number of people sent us the story about the 3 snow leopards at a zoo in Lincoln, Nebraska that died of complications from COVID-19. And yes, the snow leopard community is notoriously anti-vax. We get that. But we are really trying to stick with just humans only.
Yeah.
For dead anti-vaxxer of the week, not animals. But we appreciate you keeping an eye out for us. Brian, who do you have for your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Do you have a photo of San Francisco police officer Jack Nice?
You would think so, but I will work on that.
Fucking hell. Are you fucking serious? We do this every week. every week I ask you to put their photos up because I think it's very important that we remember that we're not talking about some fictional characters here, that like these are real human beings that were alive very recently and are no longer on this earth because of their decision to not get the vaccine.
Eventually, I will figure out how we do this show.
While you're talking about it, while you're pulling that up, I'm going to talk about San Francisco police officer Jack Nice. It could be Nice. I don't know, but we're going to go Nice because it sounds more polite. He was a 17-year veteran of the force in San Francisco, missed the November 1 deadline. So this was just very recently, missed the deadline to submit his coronavirus vaccination record. He was placed on a month of paid administrative leave. Nice to get paid to sit at home because you don't want to get vaccinated. During the time it was established that he was not vaccinated, very recently on Tuesday of last week, he became ill with symptoms of the COVID-19 virus. His wife called the... he tested positive this past Tuesday. His wife immediately monitored his symptoms. He deteriorated rapidly on Saturday. His wife called for an ambulance to take him to the hospital, and he died this past Saturday. He loved being a cop, according to his wife. He was seen as a widely respected police officer by his colleagues. And his death comes as several police departments across the country are struggling to enforce vaccine mandates. Just recently in Chicago, days before police officers were to report their status following a citywide mandate, the head of its police union urged officers to ignore the deadline and hold the line. Police officer Jack Nice, you will be remembered.
All right, Brian. This may be, I don't want to say the best because these are always horrible stories.
You mean the worst?
This story, and this individual, you have to hear to believe. The individual you see on the screen right there, she is Michelle Hoover, age 54, from Anchorage, Alaska. She worked at the Providence Hospital in Anchorage in the radiology department. She is dead from COVID. She caught COVID and died in Maryland while on an East Coast driving tour looking for her three long-lost sons, which she claims were each stolen from her at birth by the Illuminati, which is attached to the Mormon Church, according to some of her social media postings. She believes she was a victim of satanic ritual abuse. She was heavy into QAnon. She posted a lot of anti-vax, a lot of QAnon info on her Facebook page. She claimed to have a history with Donald Trump. She claimed that she was sexually abused by Matthew McConaughey and his father during Illuminati ceremonies in Longview, Texas. She said she was being groomed to be the next Hillary Clinton. She claims that she would watch Hillary Clinton sacrifice children. First, they would put a drill in the child's hair to tie up the hair and rip the skin from the kids' faces.
Stop right now.
Sure.
Run this by me again, because you just dove headfirst into the abyss.
Right. So let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can find the exact.
You're gonna have to do this again for me.
That she did here. Brace. This is her Facebook post from June 20th. Brace yourself. This is not for the faint of heart. We do not need your kind to hashtag save the children. Anyway, we will get the job done without you. I'm a witness to this witch. It was a picture of Hillary Clinton, to her personal stench and her proclivity to abuse little girls. This practice of intertwining a drill into a child's hair until the face is literally pulled off was common practice when I was captive to the Russell family of the Illuminati and selected as Hillary's protege within the Mothers of Darkness. So I know this is true. I used to not believe them. I used to not believe it was possible to pull a face off by intertwining a child's hair into a drill bit until they did it to me. The pressure, I assure you, proves it can be done. It is simply by the grace of God. I still have a face. P.S. Remember our rendezvous at the mansion in Miami? Bill, circa 1986, 1987, after the Red Book cover was published. I do. So unfortunately, this woman was clearly suffering from mental illness. As I mentioned previously, she had been on an East Coast road trip trying to find her three kids, and she ended up catching COVID. Her family announced that she was born with a birth defect and was born without a uterus. So it was impossible for this woman to have the three children that she was out on the road trying to find when she contracted COVID and died of it at the age of 54. So,
wow.
Rest in peace, Michelle Hoover, our dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Ron,
after that, I think we need to lift people's spirits up a little bit, Brian. And I think we can only do that by applauding you and your perfect record again this past week with your NFL locks of the week. You took Buffalo. They were favored by 13.5 against the Jets. You said the Jets stink. I'm taking the Bills. Sure enough, Buffalo rolls 45-17. And then you have Green Bay. They were going up against Seattle. They were 5.5-point favorites. They were unsure at the time if Aaron Rodgers was going to play. You said, I believe in Joe Rogan. I believe in Ivermectin. And I believe in Green Bay -5.5. And sure enough, Green Bay wins 17-0, bringing you, again, perfect on the season. Through, so what,
Ron,
you are now?
Ron, if I'm taking any accolades at this moment, I believe you have to stand up right next to me, as you also went 2-0 this past week for the 10th week in a row. This is absolutely amazing. Were it not for the fact that we ran the table all last season, Ron, you saw the Bucs laying 7.5 over Washington, and you said, I may not be a fan of Dan Snyder, I may not be a fan of the Washington football team, but damn it, do I respect them. Washington winning 29-19 over the Bucs. Then you went Arizona laying 6.5 over the Carolina Panthers, and you said, no. There's no reason why Carolina is not favored here. I'm putting my money on Carolina Panthers when the whole game, 34-10, wasn't even close. That is your 10th week in a row. It's just it is absolutely amazing.
Kudos to you, sir. Who do you have as your upcoming NFL locks of the week?
In week 11, I have the Dolphins -2.5 over the hapless Jets, and I've got the 49ers -5.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. For me, Brian, I think next week is redemption week for two teams that were embarrassed today. Those Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady is not happy, and I think he takes it out next week on the New York Giants. Tampa Bay favored by 12.5. Take Tampa Bay minus the points. And then Cleveland embarrassed today. They've got a Detroit team that barely managed to get out with a tie with a Ben Roethlisberger less Steelers. Cleveland -10.5 versus Detroit. I'm taking Cleveland minus the points. And those are the locks of the week.
There you go.
All right. What else do we have? Oh, we do have a couple of corrections this week from some stories that we covered last week. I guess we should cover those. We had talked about the Astro World Festival and some of the deaths and the injuries that took place there. But we also talked about how apparently someone had been going through and injecting security guards with needles and with opioids. And not surprisingly, Houston police on Wednesday walked back that claim, saying that there was no evidence whatsoever. In fact, that the security guard was not injected with drugs, but instead had been hit in the head.
Yes.
Houston police unable to really say how that mistaken story got out there. Also, we had told the story about the gentleman who had killed his daughter's boyfriend because the daughter's boyfriend had allegedly sold the daughter into a sex trafficking ring. This was Jeff Eisenman. He ended up kidnapping and beating 19-year-old Andrew Sorensen to death with a cinder block and other things.
And we cheered him. We cheered him last week, if I'm not correct. I believe we cheered him.
But now Sorensen's parents have come out and saying that in order to save himself from a long prison sentence, Eisenman and his family are demonizing a developmentally disabled young man who was born with autism and cerebral palsy and who has no ties to sex traffickers. Apparently early on, Sorensen's mother, Teresa, said they were advised by their lawyer and their police not to speak publicly about the investigation. But what is interesting is the fact that this is not being investigated by the police or the FBI as a sex trafficking investigation. So it appears that the narrative that John Eisenman and his family have put out there may be incorrect. And so we will keep an eye on this, but we wanted to make sure we got both sides of the story out there. Listen, we don't get it right 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. The news is not like NFL Locks of the Week. We are not perfect each and every week. And sometimes we need to make some corrections.
Well, I think what's important here is the fact that we understand that the current events is fluid. It is not, history is not made in cement. Sometimes you need perspective, you need time. We're reacting in real time to the events that are going on in the world. And sometimes, which is why I think it's great that we have this corrections section, we need, we set time aside on the show to say, hey, since we last spoke about this, things have kind of changed.
Yes.
Here's another perspective.
Now, this appears to be that we haven't seen anything walked back on this story yet. We love soccer. We follow it.
Love soccer. Oh.
And so this involves Paris Saint-Germain midfielder Aminata Diallo. She was arrested for her connection to an attack on her teammate, Kira Hamroui. I'm sure I'm butchering that name.
No. It's almost as if you went to a language school so you could master the pronunciation of those names. You could not have done a better job. Christiane Amanpour, if she were watching right now, she would be standing up and giving you an ovation because of what a great job you just did.
Anyway, so apparently after a team outing in Paris on November 4th, which both women attended, two masked men pulled Hamroui out of her car and attacked her legs with an iron bar. She was taken to a hospital and required stitches for leg injuries and reportedly also sustained hand injuries. So apparently Diallo orchestrated the attack in order to get more playing time. Both players are defensive midfielders and competing for a spot on the PSG team and the French national side. So
it certainly sounds like that sounds like an offensive move.
Hey,
that's not a defensive move. That's an offensive move.
Listen, you gotta respect the killer instinct. I mean, when she gets out of prison, I think you find a space for her.
You know, you're almost surprised this shit doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you think about the fantastical sums of money that can be made when you are a starter versus when you are a backup, when you are potentially not getting the playing time and therefore are no longer likely to be on a team and will suddenly just, at that point, you're in your early to mid-20s. This is all you've ever known in your entire life. I'm surprised that more athletes do not do things like this. I mean, we all saw Jesse Smollett do this so he could keep his acting job on the TV show Chicago Justice.
Wasn't it Power?
Power, sure. But like, you hear stories like this and you're amazed that it happens. And at the same time, it's just kind of surprising that it hasn't happened more frequently.
There you go. And finally tonight, a story going out to Michigan. involving Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel issuing an apology earlier this week for drinking to the point of needing to be helped out of Spartan Stadium during the Michigan State University, University of Michigan football game back on October 30th. She said that she overserved herself at an MSU tailgate, drinking two Bloody Mary. Why can't I speak to
this? Ooh, because you know why? 10%, yeah. 10% holiday beers.
I need to apologize. But anyway, she drank two Bloody Marys on an empty stomach. Quote, since as long as you put enough vegetables in them, it's practically a salad. As it turned out, this was not a brilliant idea, she wrote in her Facebook post, adding, also, I might be a terrible bartender. So she started to feel ill at the game, said she was helped up the stairs and assisted with a wheelchair to prevent her from stumbling in the parking lot, at which point she was driven home by a designated driver. Quote, I am human. Sometimes I screw up. This was definitely one of those times. Let me ask you this. Is this even something that she really needs to apologize for?
Shouldn't even be news.
Because you get drunk at the game. But again, you don't create a scene. You don't get into a fight. You don't curse anybody. You don't shout any racial slurs at anybody. You don't accost the people assisting you out of the stadium. And then you get a ride home.
Yeah, but it also, I mean, she from what the story sounds like, she needed help. She was being carried out. She was that sloppy. I mean, everybody can go and have a couple, but you just don't embarrass yourself in public.
Right.
Like I had a work dinner this earlier this past week where I went to Keen's Chop House, I believe.
Very nice choice.
Anywho, I drank a couple glasses of wine, had a couple more, but was very pleased to report that not only did I not embarrass myself or make a fool out of myself, but that I watched other people do so.
You did not lose any more jackets.
Nope.
You did not fall and injure any more knees.
Correct. I behaved.
All right. Well, then kudos to you, my friend.
Yes, but it happens.
Yeah, it happens. Happens to the best of us.
Sure.
Anything else before we get out of here and get ready for After Dark?
Let's wrap it up. Put that banner back at the bottom. We have Patreon. We call it After Dark. It takes place every Sunday, 9:30 p.m., unless it's Ron's anniversary and he wants to spend some time with the wife. Then we move the time up. Otherwise, every Sunday at 9:30, we set aside probably, I would say, the sexier stories, the spicier, the ones that are going to include a little bit more in-depth personal knowledge about whether, how many fingers do I like to receive? Things like that. Things that would not normally be discussed during the podcast, we put behind the paywall. For as little as $5 a month, you have access. We are doing episode 181. That is a lot of After Dark content out there. Some great stories, some great product reviews, eye-opening disclaimers. But we do it. $10 a month at that level not only gets you some swag, as Ron mentioned earlier, but you are also provided with a streaming link so you can watch us do the show live like we do every Sunday here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch for free behind the paywall. Not only do we do some spicier stories, but it's also a great way for you to help contribute towards the cost of this show. We are not getting rich off of it. This is not paying our rent. But what it is doing is the money that you are contributing towards it help us offset every time we use this banner and spend 75 cents every time Ron puts up the Ron and Brian podcast live. There are costs associated with this. And your very nice contributions help offset some of those. And we greatly appreciate it.
There you go. Speaking of product reviews, should I talk about my experience this week with Stitch Fix and Trunk Club on the After Dark? Is that something you would like to hear?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Fantastic.
Pour yourself another beer and I'll meet you on the other side, my friend.
All right.
Meet you behind the paywall.
After Dark, folks, we will see you in about 15 minutes. Everybody else, we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.